And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. So, all right, you know the deal. Every once in a while, you just get down to the point where you recognize there's so many things happening in and around where you is, like in your own backyard, like right around here, that you can't just always focus on the international and focus on D.C. and whatever. Sometimes you gotta take note of what is happening in your own backyard, and we like to call that cooking up a batch of home fries. Yeah, that's we got
it didn't work the first time.
Got a delayed reaction on the bacon frying over there, or the home fries. All right, so here's the deal. I got a series of stories. I'm just going to run down through some, and we'll carry this through the break if we have to, which I know we will. Text line's still open. You guys are texting you, and things are going great, and I'm about to read some of those here in a few minutes too. But I find this to be very interesting. So, you know, one of our sort of like perpetual congressional candidates is a guy named Daniel Bowman. Bowman is now, he ran against Robert Adderholt, Congressman Adderholt, for the 4th Congressional District. Maybe because the lines are redrawn, I don't know. He's now running against Dale Strong. And this is a primary challenge. So he's running against Dale Strong as a, you know, Republican. Here's the thing. I want to remind you guys. Daniel Bowman came into the Alabama legislature the same time I did. He went to the House. I went to the Senate. Bowman got elected in 2010 as a Republican. He got to Montgomery and immediately switched parties to Democrat. I cannot explain this. I don't know what he thought he was going to do, but he switched parties and immediately drew the ire of everybody. The Democrats really didn't want him. And the Republicans were instantly like, first of all, shocked. I mean, why would you? We took a Republican supermajority overnight, and you decided you didn't want to be a part of it. But yet you ran your entire campaign. I'm not talking about like 3 years later. I'm talking about he got elected, and a couple of weeks later, I believe it was, he switched parties. Like, hey, I was just kidding. I said I was Republican to get elected. Here I am. I'm a Democrat. Funny story on this is, you know, Mike Hubbard was the Speaker of the House at the time. If you've ever seen the Alabama State House, it's a building that was never intended to be what it is. But the House chamber is unique, and it has these two giant columns in the middle of it because they had to hollow out the building to make the House chamber. So the House chamber is really like consuming parts of two floors. And there's these giant columns. And when I say giant, I mean like they're big. Like they're like, you can't reach around them. They're square, and I want to say they're like 8 feet around. That's how big they are. And there's a couple of desks in the House chamber that no one ever uses because they're behind the columns. Bowman switched parties and came back to find that his desk had been put behind the column. He couldn't see from his seat, so he had to go vote. I mean, you can walk around all you want to. You can talk to people in other places. You can actually pick up a seat somewhere else and just watch the antics, and the debates. But when it comes time to vote, you got to get back to your seat because you can only vote from your voting station. He suddenly found that he was behind to me, that's a funny anecdotal memory of this guy, Daniel Bowman, who, by the way, is a disbarred lawyer. So he lost his law license because he got into a fight with Samsung, of all people. He got in a fight with Samsung, and he made what the AL.com article here from today calls racist and misogynistic phone calls. Okay. In today's day, you look at it and go, okay, how did it really go? No, it was legit. Like, no one should talk like this to anybody, much less on the phone with someone who you're trying to get help from. And oh, by the way, when you say you're getting your gun, you're going to come down there and shoot them in the blankety-blankety-blank head, you're pretty much done at that point. And he lost his license. So as a disbarred lawyer who has threatened people with their lives, he does say he was humbled. He's learned a lot of things. Of all the things he says he's done in the political and legal world, he just wishes he could take that one back. There's no mulligans in life, he says. He's still going to run for Congress for the second time, at least, as a Republican this time. Is he really? I don't know. We'll see whether he's even allowed to stay on the ballot, because I'm not going to be a bit surprised to find out there's not a ballot challenge sometime real soon. How about this one real quick for the break? State Library Board. All this stuff we keep talking about libraries. John Wall, our friend who is the chair of the Republican Party, is also on the State Library Board. He just recently praised Governor Ivey because he says, in his words, she's been very attentive to the question of these explicit books being put in kids' sections. His words were, quote, I want to thank Kay Ivey for her work to address the location of sexually explicit books in our libraries, as well as her recommendations to the State Alabama Public Library Service Board. Governor Ivey's been a strong advocate for protecting Alabama families and finding common sense solutions that respect Alabama taxpayers. Remains to be seen what's going to happen, because the resolution of the State Library Board to withdraw from the American Library Association, which is just as liberal as the teachers union, got tabled until next meeting, which is after the first of the year. So there's that. All right, there's two things I've just given you that are just home fries, cooking them up right here in your backyard. You guys stay tuned. We'll come right back with more. Like, how are we going to spend all that opioid money? Oh, wait, you didn't know about that? $270 million we got to spend. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful, beautiful, beautiful state in the nation, Alabama. I mean, y'all, this show, like, woo, goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, you hear the ads playing, I know, during the breaks, right? Just know this, all across this entire area, Right Side Radio is a standalone business. All right, we're not owned by the stations you might be listening to us on. We are a standalone entity. We send them our shows. And just like any other business, we have to have the revenue to support what we do. Well, part of how we do that is by selling ads. So if you listen to this show and you're thinking, man, they talk like me, they think like me, they say the things that I need to hear, and they take commentary and all that stuff, well, just know this, there's a whole lot of Right Side ruffians that may want to know about your goods and services if you also think like they do. So if you'd like to advertise on Right Side, we'd love to talk to you. Here's how you do it. You don't call the station, you got to contact us directly. You go ahead and go to our website, that's rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org. Click on the advertising and contact tab, send us a message, we will get back to you right away. So we'd love to have you on the team. Advertise at Right Side, go to rightsideradio.org, send us a message, we'll be in touch. All right, home fries is where I am right now. Kick it on. Smell them from here. There we go. Boomer's on all the sound effects today. You might want to know that Alabama just came into a windfall of money. And, you know, in the big picture, in the billions of dollars that they have to appropriate annually for the state budgets, it's still a lot of money. I mean, it's over $270 million is what Alabama's getting out of what's known as the opioid lawsuit. So Alabama's been hit hard. I mean, as of 2022, there were allegedly over 4,375 opioid-related overdoses in Alabama, which is a huge increase from 2018. And so what we're looking at is our state attorney general negotiated a settlement with the drug manufacturers, because there had been a huge amount of overprescribing and pushing them harder than necessary, developed a lot of addictions, and then people began to suffer greatly, not just a little bit. Like we're talking about, like I said, 4,300 overdoses. So people are now lining up for the money. $270 million came in. It's unappropriated funds, but yet we have to spend it. You can't just have it and do nothing with it. And so the question is, how does it get appropriated as excess funds not currently in the budget? Well, so the legislature did what it has to do. The power of the purse lies with the legislature. So they established what's known as the Opioid Settlement Committee just this past summer. And they've had their first meetings. So right now, the Department of Mental Health is obviously lined up. They've already gotten some of the money because it was directly related to them. Other organizations, though, are also showing up. A lot of them are faith-based organizations, one of which I know of, New Life for Women. New Life for Women, His Way Ministries, and some others. These are, by the way, organizations that have things like halfway houses to help with addiction and that kind of stuff and counseling. Others are like, there's one company, these all private entities, by the way, mostly are private, which I will say this. I like the idea that private entities are in the consideration because too often what we've seen with these one-time windfall monies, one-time money creates a belly up to the bar kind of attitude, even from state government. And during COVID, how much of that COVID relief money did you actually see in the private sector? Hardly any. It went to feeding government, and that was just wrong. So right now we got a bunch of private entities, some of which are even, by the way, drug makers themselves, like one company called Southern Research has a plan to develop non-addictive painkillers and are asking for money to help with the research. So you got all kinds of groups, even some that I look at and go, the Military Officers Association? I'm a member of MOA. How's MOA, Military Officers Association? Well, they say that 25% of all the settlement funds ought to be going to the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs because of the pronounced impact upon veterans. So anyway, interesting stuff. Wanted to make sure you knew it. $270 million dropped into the state in one-time money. Now they got to spend it. And it needs to be somewhat related to the questions that resulted in the settlement itself, the opioid addictions and overdoses and counseling and all that. All right, our men and women in blue have had a time, y'all. I had a time. And I'm not saying that facetiously. They've had a time. So story here on AL.com, in Aniana, right here in our listening area, one police officer was shot and a suspect was killed during a call for service on Monday. So just yesterday, Blount County Sheriff Mark Moon said that Aniana police responded to a call of a suspicious person who was knocking on doors in the Sand Valley Road area near Aniana. Officers arrived. A man ran off into the woods. There was a brief standoff. The man apparently brandished a gun. Shots were exchanged. The suspect is now dead. One police officer was airlifted having been shot in the leg, but he is expected to be okay. So officer down, but he is expected to be well. The suspect is not well. But then there was Birmingham. And I tell you what, I grew up in Inslee. So my dad and my uncle graduated from Inslee High School back in the day. My grandparents lived in Wylam, which is a little West Birmingham community that used to be just filled up with steel workers because my granddaddy was a steel worker. So West Birmingham was, you know, the light of my life as a kid. Loved going there. Ran barefoot through the streets of Wylam and Pleasant Grove and Inslee. Ate at the Inslee Grill. Everything's changed over there right now. Story on ABC 3340. This past weekend on Saturday alone, there were three separate homicides in a 14-hour span in Inslee. Just in Inslee. Y'all, that's a confined area right there. We're getting down to like Baghdad level stuff. But yeah, three people were shot and killed in separate incidents, all separate, by the way. Totally unrelated. The Birmingham PD was investigating each incident as a homicide. Currently, no one in custody on any of the cases. They have a thing they use in Birmingham. It's called a shot spotter, and we used them overseas. When a shot goes out, it's a direction finder that tells you the direction the shot came from, and police can begin to be directed to that area. It's really fascinating. But the first shot happened just before 3 a.m. on 18th Street and Avenue W. That guy was found dead at the scene. The next one occurred at a grocery store. Shots fired. Man was found dead inside his car. The next one occurred at 4 p.m. Avenue C in Inslee. Reports of a person shot. Man was found lying dead in the road near his vehicle. Transported to the UAB where he was pronounced dead. Y'all, I'm just telling you, that's good Lord. I mean, Inslee is a fairly, I mean, it's not huge. One homicide would be significant. Three in 14 hours. You know, Birmingham is still, by the way, Birmingham is still the, you know, per capita, one of the highest murder rates in the United States. They got to get a handle on this. The Woodfin administration has got to start upping their game. And don't try to blame it on anything else, because right north of you, as Birmingham has declined in population and risen in crime rate, look north of you 1 hour. Huntsville is soaring. Soaring. It's a leadership issue. Don't think it's not. I can go on a mini rant here on this one. I did a whole monologue on this not long. Well, I take it back. About a year ago, actually. Called it The Tale of Two Cities, where I compared and contrasted the fact that you've got one city declining in population under one administration, the Woodfin. Under the Woodfin administration, in one census alone, Birmingham dropped from biggest city in the state to barely holding on to second place. Like by, I want to say by literally, was it 112 votes, 112 people? They barely held on to being in second place. And yet Huntsville went from being in third place to, in one census alone, under one administration, the Battle administration, growing to be the number one city in the state in terms of population and growth and economic development. And, oh, by the way, crime is not the issue in Huntsville, despite its growth that you see in Birmingham. Got to get a grip on this. I mean, Birmingham's the magic city. There's so much of our history wrapped up there. So much of my personal history wrapped up there. Mini rant, boom. How about this one? Another shooting, officer-involved shooting. And this one, the jury's still out. And I say that facetiously, but there's... So anyway, a story on 1819 News, Dateline yesterday. Decatur police chief determines that departmental policies were violated in the shooting of a man named Stephen Perkins. So here's the story as I know it. Stephen Perkins, 39 years old, was shot by officers, it says, on September 29th during an incident with a tow truck. So apparently the tow truck driver had showed up to repossess Perkins' truck. The driver says that Perkins came out with a gun and tried to stop him. So the tow truck driver left, but he came back with police. Police arrived to be on the scene for the repossession. And Perkins came outside, was told to get on the ground, and then I don't know what the events were, but he was shot multiple times. So Perkins died. His family members say several things here. His family members say, number one, the tow truck driver had the wrong vehicle and was attempting to possess his truck illegally. I don't know that. I'm just listening to the grieving family saying what they know. But then the attorney for the Perkins family, because they've lawyered up, the attorney for the Perkins family said Perkins was not given the proper time to comply with police orders before he was shot. And they have home surveillance video, they say, to prove it. Anyway, internal investigations. Decatur Police Chief Todd Pinion made some determinations. He came out and said that, in his opinion, actually departmental policies were, in fact, violated. Disciplinary actions could be announced as soon as tomorrow. I don't know the status. When he says policies were violated, what does that mean? Should they have used non-lethal means first? Did they not give the proper warning? I don't know. All I know is this. Man's dead, and they're saying now that departmental policies were violated. But the Decatur Police Department has committed, and I have committed, says the chief, to making the findings of these hearings public. All right, there's that. Tell you what. What do I got here before I go to the break? Do I just go ahead and take... You know what? I'm going to finish up. I'm going to finish up before the break. Robert Aderholt, by the way, if you're not familiar, Congressman Aderholt has the potential to becoming the new chairman of House Appropriations Committee. That's one of the senior-most committees in all of Washington, D.C. And, you know, up there, seniority is the thing. Well, he's been there a while, and... he is currently one of the ranking members on House Appropriations, but he is looking right now at potentially becoming the chairman of all of Appropriations. If that happened and we had Mike Rogers also as chair of Armed Services, Alabama's in the catbird seat in terms of its clout. But he says right here in this article on Yellowhammer News, as of yesterday, that Robert Adeholt is looking at dropping a bill right now. But he says, in this bill, we're going to cut 30% and bring funding back to roughly 2018 Trump-era levels. Think about that. Can you imagine? Now, first of all, will it pass? I don't know. It still has to get through the Democrat-controlled Senate. But we've got to start seeing this kind of thing happening. And Adeholt is looking at making cuts. And this is the guy who's talking about being the chairman of appropriations, potentially. All right, here's my last story. Before I go to the break, I wanted to end on a good one. There are still good people out there, y'all. Y'all know that, but it bears saying. There are still good people out there. And I found this one on WHNT, Channel 19 News. Dateline yesterday. It says on November 11th, which is just, 10 days ago, around 4 o'clock in the evening, a car crashed into a ditch off of Slaughter Road. A lot of y'all know where I'm talking about. It's out in Madison. Inside the vehicle was a 90-year-old man, the driver, and the car burst into flames. And it says that's when two good Samaritans stepped in and pulled him out of the fiery vehicle, saving his life. The daughter of the 90-year-old man said how grateful she was, but she said, you can see the pictures in the video. It was within seconds that he would not have been here. And she found out about the crash from neighbors who alerted her minutes after it happened. By the time she got there, though, the two mysterious men had already left. And so she didn't know who they were. Nobody knew who they were. But a few days later, she was able to track them down. And so, I'll be honest with you, Right Side Radio, this is our listening area, one of our listening areas. I'm going to tell you right now, Mr. Danny Bennett and Mr. Andrew Poe, y'all are heroes. We appreciate you, and we're glad there's still people like you out there. Willing to get your hands burnt and your feet dirty, getting in there, saving a man who needed your help at the time. All right, there you go, home fries. All right, we're going to come right back, take some text messages, and move our way towards the top of the hour. And then coming up after the top of the hour, y'all, we got some adventures in woke world. Yeah, I got a passel of them. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.